The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Confidants, can you believe I am starting this episode giving an ad for my very own book? That's right. I'm here to tell you guys that you can pre-order my first book, Don't Fucking Panic, The Shit They Don't Tell You in Therapy About Anxiety Disorders, Panic Attacks, and Depression right now. You guys can get it at shop.catalog. I'm going to put the link below. They have some other really gorgeous books. I mean, that's what made me want to stick with them as a publisher. Their content is just gorgeous. It's relevant. It speaks to the soul. It's written by real people your age. You should check out all of their stuff. And of course, my book, Don't Fucking Panic, is filled with tons of exercises, stories, anecdotes, journal entries, coloring pages. It's got it all. It is long. It is something you can bring in the car with you, in your bag, in the purse, on an airplane, on a boat. I don't know what you're doing in your spare time. Bring it anywhere you want, because this book is meant to be written on, laughed in, cried upon, torn apart. It is a book that I truly made for you and your soul and your mental health. So get it now. Pre-order it. The link is included below. Let's start the show. Hello, confidants, my confidants. Welcome to another episode of Confidently Insecure, the podcast where we are absolutely sure we don't know everything. And that's what's beautiful about this podcast is, you know, you can come here and learn, ask questions, seek information and knowledge. And y'all have been asking for this episode forever and ever. And I'm just going to put it out there. We are talking to Madison Hall, the professional journalist, business insider. You are, with the way we know each other, was from you interviewing me for the book that is coming out, by the way. Hopefully I'll have more information about that when that comes out soon.
Well, I mean, I was aware of you. I knew of you.
For the BuzzFeed world, yeah. Right. But I mean,
we met through your PR people, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so we met through our PR people, whatever. You are Madison Hall, but to me, you're Maddie, because now we're friends. We exchanged information. We've been chatting off the thread, yada, yada, yada. And we are talking today about your transition from being a transgender woman.
That is a big part of my life.
Let's just fucking say it. And here's the thing. I've been wanting to do an episode just about, like, transition and, you know, the nuance and the, you know, like, I thought it would be super easy to reach out to, like, a celebrity who's super open about it and kind of get, like, the spiel and, you know, the story that kind of everyone knows. But I kind of love that you're the person we're talking to, because you're like a journalist. You're like a regular person whose identity was kind of thrown into the world. I guess I should explain a little bit of background. You posted a tweet earlier this year, just off the cuff, where you said, a lot can change in 2 years. And it was a photo of, and please correct me if I'm wrong, do you prefer the term pre-transition or pre-confirmation?
I don't know if I've heard pre-confirmation, so pre-transition's fine.
Cool. So pre-transition and 2 years later, and oops, whoops, you went completely fucking viral. And not to mention that this was a week before you were supposed to start your big girl job at where the company you work out now. So, like, let's just dive right into that first. It's like, what the fuck was it like becoming viral for being a transgender person?
It was chaotic. I think I had gotten a new dress I enjoyed, and I was like, oh, I'm going to put on some lipstick. And, you know, there was some good lighting, so I took a selfie. And I took the selfie and I was like, okay, I'm kind of feeling myself right now. I'll just toss it out here. It's like 7 p.m. and went to bed. I was like, okay, this is blowing up a little bit. And then when I woke up, I was like, oh, okay, we're at 30,000 likes. Oh, already bigger than anything.
My God.
I mean, already it was like, that's like a mini viral thing. Like,
okay, whatever. Who's counting?
Well, it's funny because people I talk to, I'll be like, oh, like I had this weird experience where I went viral. And they're like, oh, okay. And then I'll show them the final count, which was, I think, like 620,000.
Oh my God.
And they're like, oh, you went viral.
Right.
Which like is, there's weird levels of viral that I haven't considered.
Like you become like a piece of feel good news almost. And like as a journalist, you know that there are both sides to the coin. You of course got so much support and love just for posting a fucking picture. You weren't like taking a stance and like revolution. Like you were just being who you are and being like, this is just my authentic self. Here's like a photo. And the support you received was amazing. But of course there are going to be those fucking Twitter trolls who just say whatever they want. How were you able to kind of like balance that? Because you're not the like traditional YouTube celebrity whose identity comes from their transition, that like their life is so put out there online. Like, bitch, you're a journalist. You gotta be hella professional.
Yeah. I was definitely concerned. I mean, just of the like, okay, I'm about to start this new job. Like, I hope they're accepting at Business Insider. I didn't know about like the internal structures. I didn't know how people were. It's a very young company, like 10 or maybe like around 10 years old. A lot of young queer people.
And hell, so it was really,
so no, that was great. But online, it was weird because it was like ton of support, tons of love. And then conversely, on the other side, it was just like all the hate you can imagine.
Right.
Like sexual assault-y DMs.
Oh, Christ.
Really weird. In the trans community, they call people, like certain people, like chasers. If like you go on their Twitter account and it's clear that they're like only following trans people, like sexually.
Right. It's like a fetish, a kink, or.
Yeah. There are people that are just like, they won't call themselves a chaser generally, but it's like, oh, I'm only attracted to these trans women. And we're like, just kind of treat us normal.
There's something about that is like a little
don't
fetishization.
Like other us. Like,
right.
And now there's people that are calling themselves scoliosexual, which is just like the same thing, but now they have a scientific term to be like, oh, no, I'm not a chaser. I'm just scoliosexual. And you're like, get the fuck out of here. Like,
what is the breakdown of scolio? Like, I think of scoliosis.
That's what I think. I think of like Zach Kornfeld, and I'm like, that's not what this is.
Quinn Diddy, like, shout out.
Yeah, shout out to Hot Ankles Kornfeld.
Oh my God, love it.
But no, I don't think it's anything like that. I think he'd be a very supportive ally.
Of course he is.
But, I don't know the like etymology, Latin, whatever.
Latin breakdown.
All I know is it makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah. And so you get some of that, right? And had you been, is the proper term, out with your identity publicly to friends and families? Like how long, your age right now, 23?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll turn 24 in February.
Ew.
Yeah, I know. I'm getting old.
Yeah, right. Talking to a 30-year-old here.
So I guess a little background.
Yes, please.
You're
like, I'm a journalist. Let me get the story arc correct.
Yeah. I'm like, all right. Like I gotta chat with management and then, okay, no.
Once upon a time.
Yeah. I started hormones on February 5th, 2018, but like who's counting? After like, years of self-discovery and figuring that out, which we can totally hop into.
Sure.
But so that was that. I definitely did it pretty secretly and quietly with, but and didn't really tell many friends. I definitely didn't tell my family for a while.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Parents actually found out. So if I started in February, I went to the University of Missouri.
My condolences.
No, I mean, is it
Missouri?
Yeah. No.
Wait, is it in Kansas though?
No. University of Missouri is in Columbia, which is in like central Missouri.
Okay, everyone ignore me. I don't fucking know.
Kansas City is partly in Kansas though. Which I think is where you're getting that. But
yeah, okay, fine.
So I had planned on telling them during spring break, which would be like March, April-ish.
Mm-hmm.
I was on their insurance. I was paying for it through them. So I was like, I just like crossed my fingers, nothing happens. But like late February one night, I get a call from my mom and it's like, hey, like, did you get some blood work done? We got a letter from the like insurance saying that you did. I was like, oh yeah. Like I was a little sick. It was precautionary. Told you ahead of time. I'm really sorry. And like, yeah, like we're paying your bills right now. Like just tell us, keep us in the loop. Like, yeah, of course. Slip my mind. Phone call ends. I'm just like, okay, whew, that is, I'm like, that is the closest
that you've come.
Yeah.
Now, can I ask, pre-transition, did you identify as like sexually one way or the other?
I mean, externally, just completely straight dude. Went out with women, didn't. And I mean, I guess it's weird. It's hard to think about now because it's like, okay, like if I only liked women then while I was straight, then I'm gay now.
I remember like when Caitlyn Jenner came out and people were like, wait a minute. There was like flow charts being passed around trying to figure out. It's like, oh my God, who fucking cares? But I do think there's probably some like pieces of that you bring into your identity now where you were trying to figure it out.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot where like, oh, what I used to consider myself. I mean, it's funny. I used to be like, oh, well, I'm not gay, but like men are kind of cute, but like I would never do that unless I was a woman.
Because
these mental gymnastics where you're like, it couldn't
be. Right.
Clearly. And then like, as that moved forward, I was like, okay, like maybe I have to reevaluate this. Sort of just
a small reevaluation.
Yeah. And I feel like nowadays I sort of just call myself queer and I mostly am just like, I can't see myself not marrying a woman or feminine-ish, I guess, non-binary person.
Mm-hmm.
But I have nothing against like being or sleeping with somebody more masculine, I guess.
Sure. It's all a fucking spectrum, right?
Yeah. I think what I've learned is that like nothing is as clear cut.
And we always say it on this podcast that it's like, it's just to make other people comfortable. So like the mental gymnastics you talk about, it's like, well, if I have to tell my parents, like they can't understand because of their old school beliefs or their upbringing of like what relationship looks like. So I have to give them something that they can understand because it's about like understanding, right? Or maybe not even understanding, just about like their brains need something to hold on to. Yeah.
And going back to that phone call with the parents.
Right.
Like, so that ended. I'm like sitting up in bed, like I'm sure I was pale as a ghost. I mean, I'm already really pale. So
same.
And then a couple minutes later, my mom calls back and is just like, haha, like they must have made another mistake too. Says they prescribed you like estrogen. And she's looked back and said, like, oh, I expected you to be like, oh, well, that's weird. That must have been a mistake. But I was just like, so I gotta tell you something. And so it was just weird over the phone call with my parents that was really emotional for like every side, but yeah, no, they were nothing but supportive. They definitely like took it hard in the sense of like, we didn't know this. And I think the moment I knew that like my mom and parents were really supportive was when my mom was getting really emotional and was saying, I'm not sad. I'm not angry right. at you. Right. I'm just sad you had to go through this by yourself for so long.
Jesus, which is like, just that's like the answer you want to hear.
Yeah, it's yeah,
100%. It's so sweet.
and my dad is from East Texas, like has a very different upbringing than myself growing up in like Houston, and my mom in larger cities as well. Yeah, so I was like, I'm pretty positive that he'll be supportive, but I knew it would take longer to
right. digest. You prepped yourself in your head of like what the scenario would look like, and did it follow suit to what you thought?
I'd say for the most part. I'd say for the most part, like they've given me nothing but support, but it's definitely been a really big learning experience. It has definitely been interesting and really heartwarming to like when I was coming home sometimes, or like visiting from when I was living in New York,
right?
It would be like, oh, I come home and there's a Janet Mock book or a trans parenting book sitting on the table they were reading the night before. Told me about that, but like
they weren't also like this book, like folded with pages open.
It wasn't like, oh, hey, I'm going into bed for tonight, and under the pillow was like photo proof of my mom. Like they weren't pushing it. It was just like
their own time.
Yeah, and that was really nice and heartwarming to see. And my brother did the same.
Oh, I was gonna ask if you had any siblings and how.
Yeah, I have an older brother who turns 29 in a week from today.
Oh, happy birthday, brother.
Oh, wait, a week from yesterday, excuse me. Oh. but happy early birthday to William Hall. and yeah, so we live, I mean, like, very cool person. We just have very different jobs in that I'm a journalist and he's in his last year of studying to become a rabbi.
Different views.
Well, I mean, which is also interesting because my mom is Jewish, my dad's Christian. So you get an interfaith couple, of course, you get a journalist or a rabbi.
That's hysterical. It's like a Jewish woman and a Christian walk into a bar and what comes out.
The joke was always that, like, my mom made sure the kids were Jewish and my dad confirmed and made sure the dogs were Christian.
Oh, so my God.
That was the sort of deal. But
amazing.
No, but no, my brother was also nothing but supportive.
Well, I don't know anything much about the Jewish community in regard to like identity and sexuality. It's only been what I've seen through the media of like that Rachel McAdams movie. And like, you know, I always joke that like Jewish guys were my like favorite person to date because like they had like severe mother issues and like were always, you know, tall, lanky and had the dark hair. Like between my friends, they were like, if he's Jewish, Kelsey will have sex with him. And my partner right now is like a little bit Jewish. So I'm like, oh, okay.
Your partner looks your partner looks kind of Jewish.
Yeah. And like, he's like a mixed bag. He's got like, Asian in him. Like, I don't know how to say what his identity is, but he is like a beautiful candy bag of identity. But I don't know much about like how I come from like Southern Baptist in the South. Yeah. And like, we love Texas. We love Houston for trying to be progressive and liberal, but it is the fucking South. Like, I do understand what that homophobia feels like. And, you know, do you talk about that, about like your Jewish faith and how that was affected or wasn't?
I mean, that's a good question. I think frankly, in the past, like I grew up going to like private Jewish schooling education. And then like in college worked at Hillel for a number of years. So I was very like in that Jewish bubble for a really long time. Frankly, like to some degree, I got kind of burnt out from just when you're so like inundated in a community, it can usually go like, you're either you get burnt out or you like really stay involved.
You go off the deep end the other way.
Yeah. And I mean, nothing wrong with that, but.
Sure. Unless you're a Southern Baptist, I will say. Yeah. Have no shame.
I don't know enough about that. No, I mean, at least from the like reform, maybe conservative Jewish side, nothing but support. I don't really have any ties to like Orthodox Jewry. So I can't really give any.
Wait, did you just say the word Jewry?
Uh-huh.
Oh my God. That's a fantastic word. Jewry?
Yeah.
I've never heard that before.
I mean, I don't know every grammatical, like.
I mean, you're a journalist. Yes, you do.
You know, okay. I know every grammatical instance. Yes. I know the AP style.
There you go. Jewry is absolutely going to become part of my vocabulary.
Like American Jewry, like American Jews, things like that.
Right.
I'm sure. Yeah. I could easily be saying that wrong. And then when my brother listens to the podcast, he'll be like,
William, give us some space to learn.
Love him to death. But yeah, no, it's definitely interesting. There are like interesting instances where you look back at like Jewish mysticism and there are certain like, I guess somewhat similar to like indigenous culture where it's like, there are instances, if you look back in the text, where it's like multiple spirit slash like multiple gender things that have been talked about. I haven't done a ton of research into it.
No, but I've heard this before.
Yeah. So I think that fascinates me. And there's also like a really interesting rabbi in New York City. Her name is Abby Stein. She's transgender and was part of a super Orthodox community. Basically, in certain sects of the Orthodox community, there's the Baal Shem Tov, he's not God, but he was very much a like super put on a pedestal figure of this man close to God. Her family and father are supposed to be like direct descendants of him, which is like a really big deal in that community. And when she came out, she got kicked out of that community, but has continued to like really be an active Jewish voice for trans people. And it's been really, really fascinating to see her continue and like explore Judaism and give a community to the
and kind of also have like proof to say something, you know, like I feel like with Southern Baptism it's like love your neighbor unless they're gay then fuck them, and it's like love your neighbor unless they're like a different like it's very pick and choose. And I think to have a community that does say, well, like, hey, if this is the text you study and this is how you interpret it, like, are you really being a religious community here? But that's heartwarming to hear that you felt supported and loved. And, do you feel like you had a easy coming out or an easy transition considering the way that it was like?
I think all things considered, I'd say I'd call myself lucky. I'd say I had it a lot easier than most, just given that other than that post going viral and receiving also a ton of hate, like I received really nothing but support since coming out.
Right.
And I think I'd be remiss if I didn't note that like that's not super normal.
Right. Yeah. And
that, like, I'm young, like, I've only had a couple jobs since college, but, when I, basically before I graduated college, I had a job lined up, but, like, sitting down and being on a phone call with, like, their CEO, it was a small startup, and just being like, hope this doesn't change anything, I'm trans.
Wow, you said that.
To something of that degree.
Holy shit. Did you feel obligated to say so?
I mean, at that point, I had worked part-time for this company for a little bit. We had essentially agreed that I was going to move up after college and work from full-time, to the point that, like, he followed me on Facebook. Mm. Like, we were friends on Facebook. We were, you know, followers on Twitter. So it was like, and then that weekend or something, I was like planning on coming out anyways, because I was on hormones and stuff for like year and a half before I came out.
Wow.
Which is its own.
Yeah.
You know, like, how do I hide that?
Seriously.
But I knew I was going to be like posting and social when I came out. And I was like, okay, well, I'd rather not blindside my employer. You know, I'd rather it come from the source than,
like, if it's going to be a problem for some fucking awful reason.
And it wasn't. They were nothing but supportive and like.
But that must have been scary, not knowing how someone's going to react.
Yeah. I mean, for that and for Business Insider, when that tweet went viral, it was just like, I don't know the cultures at these workplaces.
Right.
Fingers crossed it works out, because in a lot of places it doesn't. But like, I think a lot of the journalism world, especially the younger journalists, are much more like open-minded. And
they're fucking cool.
I think in that it's the type of industry where like, you kind of have to be super open-minded on everything. Just by virtue of not
also
alienating.
Also the job. Yeah. Like, if you're a journalist.
My job is to like speak with people from, you know, underserved communities or of other races or other backgrounds. Like, if I can't build a rapport because of bigotry, then I can't do
it. Right. Exactly. So you talked a little bit about that period of time of being on hormones. And I want to talk about like a subject that I'm not sure I'm politically correct talking about, but also I love that you texted me saying like, nothing is off limits. So let's just go there. So I want to kind of talk about like presenting and like passing, right? So I think what was interesting about
the weather is getting warmer, so it is time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now that I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
I can confirm this. I'm actually wearing Quince pants right now.
You are.
They are so, they're loose, they're breezy. These babies have a button, a fly, drawstring, and elastic in the band. So I can like, I can dress them up, I can dress them down.
Yes.
They're the perfect pant for summer, and I'm really comfortable as hell in them.
Honestly, I am wearing the Quince 14 karat gold earring loop right now.
Oh my God.
I know. I think it's so cute. It does not tarnish. It is so comfy, and I have sensitive ears, so I'm really loving this for my body. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Kelsey for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Kelsey to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Kelsey.
Your post was that, you know, there was a big celebration of looking like a super like cis. You were wearing like a college like collared, almost kind of frat bro t-shirt. And then you're
on Bourbon Street, no less.
Yes, you're holding like a fucking one of those New Orleans. Yes, like neon drinks with the huge straw. And then, you know, the picture you posted, so feminine and like, I don't even know if I should be saying that, but like so gorgeous, so feminine. And people are like, wow, you look so much better. And you're like, I don't know how I feel about that. So can you tell me a little bit how you feel about that? And maybe also the process of like figuring out what, I don't know if I'm saying this right, so apologies if it's, but like what kind of transgender woman you want to present as?
Yeah, 100%.
Is that right? Am I fucked up?
No, I don't think
okay.
I think that's a fascinating question. I mean, just to start, I don't think there's any need. I don't think any trans person needs to focus on like passing unless they want to.
Fair. I never have really heard that.
And by passing, I mean like looking cisgender, not
right.
Trans.
Right, because people think of trans as like you go from straight masculine male to like hella feminine dress woman, and like people don't ever talk about the in between.
Yeah, and there's a ton of in between.
Right.
I mean, it's funny looking back because like in high school, fucking was a captain of our lacrosse team.
Oh my god!
Played 2 years of football. I did a ton of theater and like improv and things like that. You know,
hell yeah,
girly things.
Sure.
But like, in all, you know, all things considered, those are pretty hyper masculine. Like,
yeah.
but yeah, I mean. Can you repeat the question? Like, what?
Yeah,
was the-
no, I do this. I ask like three questions in one because I'm trying to like get it all out. But I guess that period of time when you started taking hormones mm-hmm. and like until you felt like so confident enough to post that picture, can you talk about like the thought process of how you decide what you want to look like and how you want to present?
Yeah, definitely a process. Like, I mean, you know, you're going on, like, if you go on, like, feminine hormone regime or whatever.
Yeah.
like, they're definitely slower changes at first. So, like, definitely things you can sort of get away with and, like, you know, softer skin, like, great, like, lower body hair, it's things like that. So it's like not the most noticeable things.
Sure.
But then it's like, hey, it's been a couple months. Kind of have boobs. How do I hide that? Because it's like summer in Missouri.
Wow. Yeah.
And like, that's actually what spurred me coming out to like all the guy friends I have. So I had a panic attack the day I was supposed to go.
Love.
I had like my first panic attack, like the day I was supposed to, go to a like lake.
Oh, fuck.
I was gonna go to a lake with them. I told the girls, they already knew.
Yeah.
Even though I was a lot closer to the guys, it was like, no, the girls are gonna be cool with it.
It's safer. Yeah.
Yeah, it felt a lot safer. But sure. It was also just like, the guys don't know. And then it's sort of like the whole Instagram, like, what boobs are good boobs?
Sure. Where it's like,
what gets banned and blocked or removed, and like what's a male nipple versus a female nipple,
right?
Because you know things change and it's like, oh, but
and what so can you I was, get away with?
Yeah, I had like a kind of panic attack about that, and then the next day it was just like we're watching the World Cup, like drinking Bud Light in a dirty like college apartment,
right?
And it was like commercials, like, hey guys, like I have something to say. And I told him, and then everybody was like, oh, okay. And then like
really?
All the guys just went back to watching soccer. And I was like, are you fucking serious? Like, not that they didn't handle it correctly. I was just like, that I worked that up for so long.
Sure.
Like
they didn't have any questions. Like, I feel like if so, you know, someone close to me that I saw as like a cis hetero male was like, I'm a woman, I would be like, can we break that down? But maybe it's because I'm a visual learner. I don't know.
I mean, you know, maybe I should have had a big paper, like pointing, like.
Here are the steps.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it wasn't like that.
That's amazing.
But like, so that was really dope. And then going back to the whole, like, how you dress and figure that out. It's interesting because I definitely had like preconceived notions of like what my style would be. Like,
ooh.
Well, I thought like, I was like, oh, like much like college, I'm sure my, I'll just do that sort of style, which is like kind of grungy, stonery, like lesbian-y, like I'll wear a flannel.
Right.
Like nothing wrong with that. And like still in my closet and I love it.
Same.
but then it was sort of like, oh, like I've gone thrifting with some friends and things like that. And it's like, oh, interesting that like none of the stuff I've picked are of that nature. Like,
right.
It's one of those like, oh, I didn't know that I
was. Yeah.
And I don't have the energy or time to be like a high fan. Like I don't understand that anybody has that time. Like, but I do think that like my style and dress has become like more femme than I thought. And like, shout out to Target for having like,
girl, tell me about it.
Literally like half my wardrobe is from like Target, if not more.
This
dress, Target.
Target.
I'm
sure I have. Yeah. Oh God, Nate Burkett. Like I could talk about it forever, but I won't because it's
another podcast.
Yeah.
But so that was just sort of a slow thing. And like,
did you find yourself following like social media? Like, sorry to interrupt your thought, but I have to imagine like coming out as trans in this generation, because you're technically still a millennial, right? But I'm sure I'm
in the cusp of Zoomer and millennial.
Yeah,
I'm like that weird gray area.
Yeah,
23 and like the cutoff is here.
Right,
I think it's when they say you're like a cusp on.
Yeah, like a astrology. Yeah, so you're a cusp.
Which I am too. I'm on a cusp of that.
See, you're full of cuspy shit. That's great.
I like to just think that like internally, nothing could agree upon anything, and
there
it's just
you
like
fucking go.
You're just gonna be an edge.
It was in the stars. But I have to imagine like a Gen Z transition probably feels different than like elder millennial transition, just because of the nature of social media and the resources of YouTube. And like, you know, I was even thinking about like, how did I learn about putting on makeup? Which like, you fucking know what you're doing. It's like, I learned from my mom and I learned from watching other girls that I thought were like whatever society said was pretty and was like following their trends. And now it's like Euphoria has gems, so I bought gems. It's like, did you find yourself relying on, you know, the societal norm of like whatever feminine felt like?
To some degree. And I mean, like, I am bad at makeup. Like, even I'm literally just wearing lipstick and mascara right now.
You don't have blush on?
No.
Or your eyebrows?
No.
Fuck you. I hate people like you that just can wear up and they're like, this is just my face.
I mean, so like, I definitely have been trying to practice like eyeliner and I'm not good at it. And
I have a TikTok I can send you about making winged liner.
Please do. I mean, like, when I first started and, like, came out to the girls and all that, they, for a while, it was like, hey, like, do y'all think you could help me? Or, like,
guys want to go shopping or?
Which is, like, so hard and scary to do. Like, I swear, like, half the times I went shopping, it was, like, just become, like, a ball of nerves where it's, like, hey, I'm sorry I'm being like this. This is just like, because you walk into like Target and you're like, I'm in the women's section, but I'm 6 feet tall. I have short hair. I'm clearly a dude. Like, am I a pervert? Like,
oh gosh. And you think everyone's looking at you. Think people are looking at you.
I mean, I still do. I mean, there was one time my mom was like, hey, I want to take you bra shopping at the place. Like, I go and we got to the place and I just like panicked in the car and was like, can't do this. There's literally like one dude sitting in the waiting area, clearly in front of, in the glass.
Yeah.
What if he sees me? And it's like, that's not conducive to anything, but like.
Well, no, it kind of goes back to the conversation about passing of like, did you find or gain more confidence the more like outwardly femme presenting you transitioned to?
That's a good question. I think I am, like, kind of what I said earlier, that even though you don't have to pass or want to pass, like, it's what I personally like
right.
more strive for.
Sure.
Just because like love being in the trans community. I love talking about it clearly.
Yeah.
But like I want the same respect.
Right.
And you know, I mean, not that every person deserves that respect, but absolutely. Like I don't know. That's just where I'm coming in from, and I want to be treated as such.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so like I definitely agree that the closer I've gotten to passing, and like I don't even know if I do. It's one of those things where it's like,
well, it's like it's subjective even to people that aren't in the trans community.
Yeah, like I think you could look at most women and in a weird, like cis women in a weird angle or weird shot and be like, clearly they're trans. Like look at this shadow.
I used to get that all the fucking time. When I would go out in WeHo, like, you know, I had my five best friends were gay men. And so it was them plus me. And we'd be out in West Hollywood. And all the time I would be asked, which first of all, I didn't like realize there was just such an openness to asking in the community, which I think I was like, oh, I feel safe, even though I'm responding with like a no, I'm super cis white female. Sorry to burst your bubble, but it was something that like, I guess that's why I have so many questions about like the presentation, like is how much of being labeled a transgender woman matters to you, or do you prefer like lose the fucking transgender part? I am a woman.
I think it depends the context and like when that would be. I mean, I think it, you know, I don't mind like being labeled as such because like there's nothing factually incorrect about that. Like, I can't,
I am who I am.
Yeah. Like, you know, I've seen myself in the bathroom. I know who and what I am.
Sure.
But like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what my like real preference is. I think like I said at the beginning, I don't think any trans person ever wants to be like othered.
Right.
And that like, and it, so if it's like, oh, you know, we're trying to just get a feel for like, you know, everyone's background, what they are, whom they are, like, sure. Like, yes, I am a transgender woman. But if it's just like, hey, like the, you know, all the girls are hanging out over here.
Right. It's like, oh, if you raise your hand, all the ladies in the room, like, hey, like in the club.
I'm not going to be like, my arms aren't up because technically I'm a transgender.
I'm halfway.
Yeah. I'm like, no, like that's not what I'm going to do. I'm like, fucking work like, for this identity. Like,
right. Because I think two people, like, I think I used to say on my podcast as an intro, like, ladies, gentlemen, and those between, and, like, I got people saying, like, hey, sometimes between makes it feel like there is an end destination, and so I changed it to, like, ladies, gentlemen, and those who are neither, and I don't know, like, if that's really the best way either.
I mean, I don't think there's one specific way that like you're ever gonna appease everyone, and that's not like a derogatory sense. I think it's just that like everyone is so multifaceted and
absolutely
comes at things from different angles and perspectives and backgrounds and experiences that like they're gonna interpret things differently and want that language. Like jokingly, like I always loved the like ladies, ladies, and gentlemen or something.
I love that.
I
think I'm gonna have to use that in jewelry as my new like word of the day.
Yeah, just very Sesame Street like hey Cab Slap, here's what I learned today.
Cab Slap, shout out to the DJ, he's somewhere over there making breakfast. That's super I think you're right, like in the time that we're living in, and as it's people become more accepted of who they are, like the language will change and giving people the space to like learn. And I guess, oh my God, I can't believe we've already been recording for 42 minutes. No. Will you do a part two?
Yeah, but we can go to an hour plus if you need.
Absolutely. So,
I mean, it's clearly not a very big news day.
Oh my fucking God. And like this episode is going to be coming out in a couple weeks. So just to note to the confidants, today is the day we found out Trump has corona. Or it's, allegedly has corona.
No, it's been confirmed. I don't doubt that.
But like, I've been too deep into the internet. Do you think, okay, whatever. This won't matter in 2 weeks because there will be a completely different narrative painted of like the story. But yeah. Maybe, hey, now that we've brought up the big orange man in the room, let's chat about it. How were you in 2018? Like, I feel safe with this fucking administration. And, you know, how do you feel now knowing, you know, what's going on? And
this I'm going to say this carefully, just considering, like, I work
you're a journalist. Desk. Sorry.
No, you're fine. You know, but from like a trans perspective, like it's been interesting. I mean, we've definitely seen an increase in like the whole minority communities, you know, right. Seen that increase in attacks and, and disparagement, et cetera. I mean, I think the bigger concern for me has always more been like, what about protections and legal protections and health protections? And like, frankly, I was really surprised when the Supreme Court upheld the decision a couple months ago about like transgender people getting those protections in the workplace.
We were like, oh.
I was like, okay, not the position I was expecting. And like, I was waking up every week expecting that decision and being like, all right, this is the week that I am able to be fired because of whom I am, whoever I am. I don't think there's been a huge shift from 2018 to 2020 other than like a new Supreme Court justice, which could reshape that. But like, I don't think there's, at least in my perspective, and I know that that's going to be completely different from others. It's going to be very like, I don't have that much of a shift from 2018 to 2020 other than like, I'm much more ingrained in this community and I understand their concerns and fears a lot more. And I wrote like a voting piece about potential disenfranchisement of trans people.
Tell me a little bit.
So basically like a little background too, I went through this process and actually learned that it went through the first day I spoke with you about name and gender marker change. So I figured out, but like
party horn.
But no, like basically right now within the court systems, it's really screwed up and wonky because many courts aren't seeing in-person cases. And when that happens, like, at least in Texas, you e-file instead. And it's like, okay, I e-filed all the court paperwork I need. And then what would normally take just a few minutes in person, it was like, hey, this might take up to 6 to 8 weeks.
Oh, shit.
And
And this is for your name and gender markers change, which would then affect how you vote or like how the voting comes to you or?
I mean, since I changed that, I then had to separately change my voter registration. But if that process is like in the middle and you hear back too late and get that confirmation of the name change or realistically, like the name change happens.
Right.
But I still had to wait weeks to schedule a DMV appointment because those are, at least in Texas right now, being seen on like appointment only basis.
Right.
And so it's okay, there's this waiting period and then a waiting period to see the DMV to get a new license because you need identification in many states to vote. And if that new ID and your voter registration don't match up,
Then
you can't vote. And if all the court systems are backed up and because all of that is in the loop and you don't hear back before voter registration is over, then that's just disenfranchisement.
Holy shit.
And is that going to happen to millions of people? Probably not.
But
for a small community of people whom are particularly affected, right. you know, by certain issues and have a voice, want a voice in this election.
It's stuff you need to fucking know, and it's like an extra job.
Yeah, so that was definitely really, really interesting to research and talk with like the ACLU a little bit about.
Ooh, yeah.
But yeah, it's just, it's interesting because like I work hard not to be the quote unquote trans journalist. Like,
exactly. I was going to ask.
There are incredible journalists out there, and there are some trans journalists who don't only write about trans issues.
Sure.
But like primarily that's sort of their
go-to. Right.
Yeah. And like, I love that. Like Caitlin Burns, who just finished up at Vox, like one of the best, if not the best trans journalist out there right now, in my opinion.
Amazing.
Really, really fantastic worker. She's written tons and tons about trans processes and debunking lots of like political things about trans stuff, and like really, really respect her work.
Yeah.
And I've done, like I said, like I've written about trans issues at Insider, but like I'm very happy and fortunate that as a political reporter or just, I guess technically I'm not a political reporter, I'm a data editorial fellow. So like data journalism, helping out a lot of verticals. But like 99% of my work doesn't have to do with that. And I can make a name for myself and just be that dope female reporter.
Hell
rather than like
who covers mental health books coming out too.
That came up.
She's multifaceted.
Exactly. That came up, and like I was like, I want to cover that.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
I want to interview Kelsey Barron.
Oh my god. And then look at this. I'm interviewing you. And honestly, like we are wrapping up, and I have to do PR for the book after this. So I do kind of want to do like a part two if you are interested. Cause like I said, I never get to my actual questions because I just start talking and it becomes just like a fucking conversation with a friend. And, but in the meantime, until we do a part two, can you tell the confidants where you would like to be found or followed or read?
Yes. You can follow me on Twitter primarily at by Madison Hall.
Yes. Follow more reporters.
Yeah. Follow all the Insider, Business Insider reporters. If you're really interested in the elections, follow Grace Panetta. Don't know her Twitter name, but she's absolute goddess. And follow Jessica Huseman at ProPublica. Just fantastic. In my head, like the leading elections and reporters right now. You're welcome to follow me on Instagram at absolutely maddening.
Which is a great handle. We've talked about this.
And and then my, I guess, like Insider author page would be like businessinsider.com/author/Madison-Hall, I believe.
That's like BuzzFeed. We have the same exact link. We'll put it all in the description below.
Yeah, so that's that. And one last thing, just because my name is really weird and I learned this like out of the fucking blue and it pissed me off.
What?
Apparently, you search Madison Hall transgender, you learn that there is, I believe, an Australian murderer who is trans with that same name.
You're fucking kidding me.
No. And so like,
oh shit.
My life goal apparently right now is to work at these companies to just boost my SEO.
We gotta get your SEO. Yeah, we gotta call somebody about that.
So just to clarify,
the Australian murderer.
Yes. So happens.
Wouldn't that be funny if like you were at the end and you're like, by the way, that you're gonna see some articles written about me. I've been proven it, and I'm like, wait, what the fuck this whole time?
They've spoken about me on Ryan and with Ryan and Shane.
Oh my god, no way.
No.
That would be amazing.
But yeah, that was just like,
we have to put an asterisk on that just to be noted.
Yeah. So it's not me. It's different spelling, but
great.
Fucked my SEO.
What a wonderful thing to end on. Seriously though, I'll reach out about a part two because I you know, want to dive so much deeper. And thank you so much for your time and coming on and Confidant. You know that you can check out all the descriptions and the link below. You can always reach us at confidentlyinsecurepodcast@gmail.com. And please throw us a follow on ConPod on Twitter and Instagram. We're always doing giveaways on Instagram. Holy shit, I've got PR boxes out of my asshole. And fucking, yeah, that's it. I love every confidant, and thank you again.